Blog Talk Radio.
Well, welcome to 1,000 Moms Talk, and we are in late August of 2018, a momentous week. Aren't they all, Ray, momentous?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, again, happy birthday to my colleague, Dr. Ray. We had a great, great time last night celebrating. It was very classy, very, 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 very nice gathering of family and friends, and you should be very proud of the way it came off. It was just relaxing and celebratory in these dim times. Believe me, it was a real pick-me-up for me. And I would just want to thank you and happy birthday again. And I'm glad.
Thank you. Thanks for your honoring us with your presence. It made all the difference in the world, and it was a whole lot of fun. Sure. You were a big part of it.
Yeah. Well, Ray, this week, that was the week that was, right? That was the David Frost Show, TW.
I watched that in high school. Yeah, that was it.
Yeah. Well, all right. Well, I want to do a couple of things today. We were just talking about pre-show. I want to just sort of summarize the madness, and I hope we're breaking through to the other side. I think that's the Doors song, Break On Through to the Other Side. We had indictments, we had guilty pleas, and talk of impeachment is rising. But I also want to talk, interesting article from The Atlantic about the psyche of a Trump voter who watches Fox News and why they will never change. Never. Interesting. And then finally, I want to talk about the gay mayor who just likely is running for president in 2020. Wouldn't that be amazing? He's a mayor from a town in Indiana, and he's on Obama's very short list of people he would like to see run. And I can't wait to talk about that. It would be nice to have some good news. So, Ray, let me give you your introduction. You are the longtime co-host, longtime host, executive producer, cleared engineer for Homo Radio, which has successfully served as a hub for the online and on the radio air for the gay community here in the Albany capital region and around the world now, really. And that's Sundays, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Eastern Time, WRPI.org, 91.5 locally, and on the internet everywhere, Apple TV, iTunes. And I keep forgetting that new service you're on, that new platform that folks
Quest,
can listen.
Quest for Life. Network.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so catch Dr. Ray then, and come back here and listen. We're also on iTunes. I keep forgetting to mention that, but we're also on iTunes. So Ray, this week we had Manafort going to the slammer, guilty on 8 counts of tax fraud and should have been 18, all 18 counts, but one Trumpist juror created a hung jury on 10 counts, just one single vote. That's all it takes to get a hung jury. And then even more interestingly, at the same time, this broke on Tuesday, and I mean, it was like Christmas in July, except we're in August. Michael Cohen walked into Manhattan Grand, I believe it was the Southern District of New York. Well, he walked into the federal courthouse and pled guilty to all of that Stormy Daniels stuff, the illegal payments. And on the 7th and 8th plea, he indicted Mr. Trump. Mr. was named as assisting in the commission of a crime, the payment of these funds to several porn stars. Ray, at some point the details just sort of gloss over you. Do you find that?
Oh, it's like a wave. It really is. It just washes over the beach of misbehavior,
sanity,
illegal behavior, you name it.
Ah, and they're going to, I think it was yesterday, his bookkeeper and some other thug who works for Trump got immunity, and they're going to unravel his filthy, shady business doings over 30, 40 years, and it ain't going to be pretty. Do you remember the other one? It was his bookkeeper and somebody else. Oh, the guy at the National Enquirer. Yeah.
Yes.
Pecker.
Yeah,
what
Mr.
Was,
Pecker.
Peck. Yeah, what did MSNBC say? Pecker's going to leak?
They say that. They're squeezing Pecker
pretty
good.
They did say
good.
That. Yeah. What a name. What a name, dude.
Wow, yeah.
So,
you know who's lurking in the shadows? It's Big Gray Squirrel.
Is who?
Big Gray Squirrel.
Who?
And then yet to be
no,
named.
Who's that? Oh,
yet to
oh,
be
okay.
named. It's sort of like a deep throat, you know. They have a Big Gray Squirrel.
Oh, okay. Oh. Well, last night we were talking about Natasha and Bullwinkle J. Moose and Squirrel, right?
Yeah.
I
yeah, we were. There was
yeah,
a
we're
meme
have
online.
To
get... just, oh, my God. It would make you go belly up. Exactly what you're describing. Picture's worth a thousand words.
Yeah. Well, MSNBC apparently, well, apparently, I'll say, ran a one of those chirons, the underneath scroll that goes underneath the picture, and it said that Trump's pecker to leak or something like that. That's a classic one. I wonder if he ever considered a name change. Well, I shouldn't. I don't besmirch people for their birthright, but geez, with a name like Pecker, you go to the National Enquirer. That's an odd career choice. But anyway,
well, there are studies
what he was doing.
Education. Oh, I'm sorry. There are studies in education that indicate those very rare names cause severe psychiatric problems later on. So maybe you should have
really?
Changed his name. Yeah.
Oh, geez. So he runs the National Enquirer, and if it's not the number one red newspaper, it's close to the number one in this country, which is really kind of remarkable if folks wonder how we got Fox News. The National Enquirer has been at the forefront of scummy journalism. I don't even call it journalism, just scummy reporting for years, you know, aliens, two-headed, three-headed aliens, and, you know, the stuff you see in the
stories. Oh, my God.
Yeah, the stuff you see at the supermarket checkout and well, that's the
well,
free
press.
Well,
you do know that our loyal leader said that to his base that they should give the, you know, the Enquirer the Nobel Peace Prize, and that they've been cheated for many years out of this great honor. And that's a quote.
So. I don't
I'm
know.
Not kidding.
My life, I've seen a few people who I respected, I thought, and admired, and I saw them reading the National Enquirer, and my heart just sunk. And I found other ways to continue to the relationship or the friendship. But if I see somebody reading the National Enquirer, I can't believe it. I mean, it just seems laughable to me. But that has always been there. It's been around a long time, hasn't it, really?
Well, when I was in high school, you know, our teachers, you know, taught a unit on the newspaper, on the press, the Fourth Estate. I guess nobody remembers that anymore, but they wouldn't even use the names, David. They wouldn't even lower themselves. They just called them generically, quote unquote, the tabloids. And that's the, you know, that's what I took with me. When I wanted to see something, I'd hide it the way I would a pornographic magazine. And now they talk about it like it's the second coming. It just blows me away.
Yeah, I mean, they're, and Trump seemed to, well, the story that went down this week is that in the Cohen case, and really, I think credit should go to Michael Avenatti for he predicted that this would be Trump's undoing, and he delivered on his word. I mean, the Stormy Daniels thing is really the key to unraveling Trump's corruption. You know, the payments, and to this other woman, Susan McDougal, that's a name from Clinton era times, but a different person. But, you know, what it sounds like, you know, Al Capone getting caught for tax evasion, but Trump got caught for paying off these people he had relationships with and campaign violations. And that's really what Cohen, his personal lawyer, his former lawyer, really sung about to the court this week, and with the promise of much more to come. So we have a. it's just like a you know, if you pull a thread on a sweater and it just unravels. I think we had the first thread pulled this week. And for example, Ray, I don't know if you knew this, the New York Attorney General, I guess that's her full title, Barbara Underwood, who took over from Schneiderman, who was beating up women and beating up women while he was professing he was part of the Me Too movement. So there's a new, and she'll only be there till January, Barbara Underwood, as Attorney General in the state of New York. But she's going after the Trump Foundation, which was a cesspool of operations and illegal payments. And I mean, I worked in the foundation world. There are rules. There are strict rules, state rules, government rules about what you can and cannot do with this tax sheltered money. And Trump, of course, I don't know. They didn't even have a board meeting for 10 years. He put his sons in charge of it, and they're just writing checks here and there to pay off other porn stars or hookers, or I don't even want to demean the women by using those terms. I mean, the they didn't have board meetings, I think I said, and those are requirements. You must in foundations, in return for getting this protection from, you know, the IRS, you have to have a board of directors. They didn't. You have to meet regularly, quarterly. He didn't do any of that stuff. Are you surprised? So
no, nothing. The cliche of nothing surprises me anymore certainly is one of mine.
So, as a backup, in case, well, here's the deal, as I understand it. If the Democrats fail to take back the House, Trump, and here's, this is really eye-opening. I don't know if you've heard this right. But if the Democrats fail to take back the House, the Republicans will just bury everything. Trump will go on a pardon mania rage, just pardon everybody, and he'll look at what the Senate, they said nothing all week. Crickets, as they say. Did you hear any Republican senator say anything this week with all this filth coming out? And especially two people.
You've got Susan Collins there, and, you know, you really have to have respect for her. What a woman. What a woman.
Oh, God. I mean, I just think she's bordering on incompetent. You know, she's buying all the stuff that this guy Kavanaugh, Trump's appointee, who shouldn't even see the light of day, because he's being appointed by a unindicted co-conspirator. But Susan Collins said, oh, he told me that, Roe versus Wade is settled law. And well, Hitler told Chamberlain a few things in Munich. And I've got some land in Florida, and there's a bridge in Brooklyn that's for sale. I mean, she's either incompetent or just so naive. And also Rand Paul. There are two senators, Paul and Lindsey Graham, who 180s, on Trump. And now they seem to be supporting him. And that leads me to believe, and others, that Putin got to them. And how he got to them, I don't know. But I know Rand Paul was just in Moscow, maybe getting his orders from Putin. And that is the danger here. I don't want to get paranoid, but Ray, what do you think? If the Democrats don't take over, Putin, who is really in charge, really in power, will execute some kind of silent coup. I think it's already underway. He's getting the spineless Republican senators to do nothing, and to flip their positions and become Trump supporters. What do you think of that, right?
There's no denying it. I mean, it's a process, and it continues to go on. And you take the emotion out of the equation. I mean, this is a dead-on choreographed plan that Putin has put in motion to divide the country. I call it the 2018 version of a civil war. I mean, you just look at the way families are split. You don't have brother shooting brother, but you have families divided that won't even meet together anymore. It's just the current version.
Yeah, I learned about on Facebook about some family members, and it just shocked the hell out of me that how they're supporting Mr. Trump. And it is a civil war. I think John Brennan, the former CIA director, said it. You know, Trump is tearing this country apart. You get that on Facebook a lot, don't you? Right.
Oh, I do, and I get it. I get it from family. I mean, you were giving that wonderful lead-in to my birthday, but there, I have first cousins who, you know, absolutely will have nothing to do with me, nor I with them, because as a gay man, a member of the LGBTQ plus community, they're taking dead aim at us, and there's no way I'm going to support those people. And I've given many, many metaphors that indicate, you know, if your child were in the crosshairs, we had Lisa Nixon on last week, and when she says they're putting together a backup plan to take her gay son out of the country if things go south, it's not a joke. Tomorrow we're going to have Joe Laux on to talk about the perils of the LGBTQ community in this situation. And, you know, I've talked about people, and I don't want to put names out there because it's been given to me in confidence, But there are over 70 organizations that are holding their breath at this point, right in this area, as to whether or not they're going to get any grant money or not, or whether it's literally going to go to pay for this nebulous wall. And if anybody thinks the decision there is going to be positive for us, then they do need that swamp land you have in Florida, because we are going to be so pelted. And with Pence and restorative reparative therapy and Betsy DeVos and Sessions, I mean, these people are all, they're racist to the limits, are homophobes to the nth power, and I don't know how seriously you can state it. But I'll tell you, those 70 organizations don't know what they're going to have after November. They have no clue. You know, the budgets, they have no clue what's going to be left. I have a clue. Nothing.
Yeah. Well, I I also got some messages from my high school alumni, and one of them was, believe it or not, a born-again doctor, and he said he's very fair to all sides. He listens. He listens to the alt-right and the alt-left. And when I wrote back to him, I said, there is no such thing as the alt-left, you stupid idiot. And he said, I understand that you're gay and that you know, I think you've been chosen by God to carry the cross in this world. I said, thanks a lot. I think people had more to do with it than God. And don't be so damn patronizing. So I promptly unfriended him. So Ray, I was going to try to read from this article that I saw in the Atlantic magazine. And I can't get to it. My connection isn't that great. Excuse me. But I think I can summarize it. The point of the article. The point of the article was to discuss why people who support Trump will never ever stop watching Fox and never ever stop supporting him. And I was curious to get your take on this, because the article kind of began by saying, well, on Wednesday, you know, we had all this damning news on Trump and his henchmen and, you know, convictions and guilty pleas. And on Wednesday morning, Fox and Friends, that insipid morning show that Trump watches all the time, their lead story was about the woman who got killed in Iowa by a Mexican immigrant. I think that's the story. And Tibbetts, I think, was the name of the woman. And so the writer said, you may think that this is just more than horrible journalism. It's just malpractice. But he said the point of this Atlantic article was that to a Fox viewer, what Trump did in terms of cheating on his wife, having affairs, that's not what the Fox viewer is concerned about. That's not what the Trump voter is concerned about. They are concerned with Mexicans killing white people. They are concerned with their values, and they consider them upstanding conservative values are to preserve, protect and defend and recreate the myth of the white dominated society. And who cares if Trump cheats on women? It's been done forever. And people have been paid off forever. And that's nothing new. But in their world, it's more dangerous to have crazy wild minorities running around and disturbing the peace. You know, it's like Nixon's, what did he run on in 68? Beside the Southern Strategy, it was law and order. He was going to be the law and order president, which is code word for, you know. So what do you think of that point of view? Is that anything new? It struck me as interesting. I thought it was a new take on why we're here. Right?
I think there's some merit there. I really do. I mean, it's just so difficult to parse out. It's psychological. It's social. But I think when it gets to the bottom line, and the end of the day, it's pure, you know, attempt to live in the past. I have a great friend who was with us last night. He says he gets so annoyed at this bemoaning of people want to go back to the good old days. And he'll rattle off a list of things, you know, the average age at that point, the medicines that weren't there, the procedures that go on and on and on, and all our creature comforts. It's revisionary history, which is always my beef. These white old men are practicing revisionary history, and Trump brought it. He was their darling. I mean, he's the hero of that, you know, behavior.
Well, you know, our governor got kicked around for inartfully. New York Governor Cuomo said this week, I think he tried to reword it, but he said, well, America wasn't that great to begin with. And frankly, I think he's right. I mean, I used to work for a guy who was the head of this foundation, and in general, he was conservative, and he worked for Nixon, but he was a thinker, and he said, when was it better in this country? When women couldn't vote? When blacks were lynched? When we had a Great Depression that stunted the lives of many, when we had a civil war that killed 600,000, when was it better in this country? You know, and Cuomo, Governor Cuomo said, you know, I think that's what he meant to say, but of course Trump and all of his people jumped all over it and said that, you know, he was a traitor. He, you know, this America was great. And, you know, it's just nonsense, you know. And I think the good news is that after, what did Jerry Ford say when he got inaugurated in 1974? Our long national nightmare is over. I think we're going to be able to say that in the foreseeable future. I posted a photo on Facebook, Ray. I think you commented on it. The picture of the Republicans led by Barry Goldwater going over to see Nixon and tell him, you got to go. And I don't see anybody now doing that. That is America not being great. And I don't even think John McCain would do it. And I know he's on his last legs, but he was very partisan. There's going to be a lot of plaudits for him when he passes, which should be soon, I hate to say, but once you go into hospice, you know, it's just, you just mark time. All we have are Susie Collins and Rand Paul and Lindsey Graham, and they're just hacks incapable of leadership. No spine. Makes me speechless. The abrogation of a solemn oath. It makes me crazy.
When I heard Lindsey Graham speak yesterday, I literally just gasped. I mean, it's been a vacillation for me back and forth. There was a time I was stupid enough to believe the man had some manhood, virtue, in those words, not quite in those words, but I'm using a euphemism. And he talked about Spiro Agnew. You know, Maryland, as you mentioned so aptly, is in the top four or five most corrupt states that we have. And at that time in 73, it was probably number one. It was absolutely, there was no secret that, you know, that Spiro Agnew was on the dole. And he accepted bags, paper bags full of money, enormous amounts of cash, in the Oval Office. The symbolism just was dripping off the walls. And but when they sat down to him, and you know, I was asked by somebody last night, is his lawyer still around? Well, I don't know how old he was in 73, but he was sitting there and quite able to spit out some very colorful language that did not make Joe Scarborough happy, and he doesn't make me happy at the time. But anyway,
yeah.
You know, he said they sat down Agnew, and this is all over. You can Google it. And they laid out what was going to happen if he didn't get the hell out of there. And Agnew, you know, crooked to the limit, but he, same thing with Nixon. They were pragmatists. He knew that it didn't go down the Noah Contandre, and that is a pronunciation. That's one of my friends tells me it's not. That he knew that they had to plead that no contest, which is of course it's the equivalent of no contest, and he did, and he walked away. And the lawyer was saying if Trump had any brains, he would do that. But he also said, follow up, he is incapable, simple declarative sentence, he is incapable of, you know, comprehending that. So it will not happen. I mean, a smart thing for Trump, for his sake, forget everybody else for a moment, would be to get his rear end out of there because of his family and, you know, everybody connected to him, and the concentric circles go on and on. But he doesn't think that way because he doesn't think at all. He's a narcissistic sociopath, and they don't think like pragmatists. Agnew was just a pure, ugly old crook, just like Nixon. I mean, and Nixon had a brain, and Agnew had nothing except alliteration, nattering nabobs of nabobism.
Well, Sapphire wrote that for him. Nattering nabobs of negativism.
Yeah.
Well,
you
were
there.
Listen, I want to. I knew the man. I wasn't there at the. That when he wrote it, but I knew Sapphire. Talk about blind loyalty. I mean, he had a lifelike, larger than life photo of Richard Nixon hanging on his the entrance to his office, and you know, to anybody who would listen, if you could, Sapphire would say, "Well, Nixon did nothing wrong. Nothing wrong." Sapphire never understood Watergate, like abuse of power and paying criminals and defrauding the government. Ugh. So anyway, so I wanted to take a break. I wanted to just tell people we have a new updated website for our book series, and I really, really invite people to go there. It's www.healingthebrainbooks.com. Features my newest book, which is on, it's called Healing the Brain, Food and Family. And what I do is I look at the family that I grew up with, my family, and discuss, well, how did they eat? What did they eat? And we look at how they lived and how they died and what we now know about food that they didn't know, I didn't know, things in terms of, you know, the fat, the sugar, the salt that we have in fast food and in processed food and, you know, what causes the diabetes epidemic and the obesity epidemic. Of course, they're related. And my aunt died of Alzheimer's, and we now know that there are foods that are better than others to eat to get rid of what's called the free radicals and to eliminate or even bring the temperature down on the plaques and the tangles that cause Alzheimer's. And then I look at addiction in the sense that it was smoking that basically killed my father from a stroke. And what we now know about addiction, which he didn't know prior to, of course, the Surgeon General's report in 1963. So I cover it all. I think it's interesting reading. I had a great review this week. A woman said this is a book that wraps its hands around you and gives you a warmth of really what wasn't an easy path to growing up, but we had a large extended family in Yonkers, New York, and I try to remember the good times and how they could have been extended. But please, everyone, go to www.healingthebrainbooks.com. We have videos now. We have short videos on addiction, on LGBTQ stress, and memory. And these feature like Judy Collins is in one of the videos talking about her alcoholism, her depression, and then the suicide that happened of her son. It's great stuff. We filmed it last summer, and now we have it available on our website. So please take a look, www.healingthebrainbooks.com. And the videos are free, and the sample is there, free for you to download. So healingthebrainbooks.com. Okay, Ray, in the few minutes we have left, how would you like to have a gay president in 2020?
Nothing to be better, as long as it's not James Buchanan.
No. This is something I've sort of been following a little bit, and cautiously optimistic that it will come to pass. But I do believe the man is going to run. His name is hard to pronounce, but Pete Buttigieg is the mayor of the city of South Bend, Indiana, where Notre Dame University is, or University of Notre Dame. And Buttigieg, or as they call him, Mayor Pete, because his name is very, his parents are from Malta. Anyway, he is on Obama's, I would say, top five candidates he would like to see run in 2020. And Buttigieg is one, not in order of importance, but Ray, easy on the eye, very easy on the eye, openly gay, got married last summer, a Rhodes Scholar, Harvard grad, two-term mayor of this town, of South Bend. He's 37 years old, 37, and highly respected, very bright. He ran for Democratic National Chairman, believe last year or 2 years ago, and he withdrew in favor of the status quo. But fascinating guy. He's been making the rounds. He's been on late night TV. He's been on CNN. And he's got some really great ideas that I think will, they're very progressive, but practical. Interesting. I just found it, and I said, he's practically admitted he is going to run, and the reason is he's in Indiana, and there's no way up. He said he doesn't want to be a backbencher in Congress, so he doesn't want to run for Congress, and it's such a Republican state that he lost the statewide election for like treasurer a few years ago. And Indiana is such a Republican state that David Axelrod, who was Obama's political mentor, is also advising Mayor Pete and he is encouraging him to break out. Just do it like Obama did. Obama was in his 40s, I believe, when he announced for president. And Axelrod's thinking is, it's never too early to run for president, but it can be too late. So I would get on this guy's bandwagon right away. He's also a military vet. I mean, he served in Afghanistan for a year and seems to check all the boxes. And he's deadly serious. He hasn't announced yet. I think there are campaign finance reasons for that. But he's hired staff. He's done the trips to Iowa and all the early states. And Ray, I encourage you to learn more about this fellow. He's wouldn't that be a refreshing change from status quo?
Talk about an adjustment and much needed.
Yeah, yeah. They love him. They love him in this fairly conservative town in South Bend in Indiana. He won election and re-election. I think he won re-election by 70 points, something like that.
Wow.
And he's enacting a plan. It sounds pretty practical. I mean, South Bend was a Rust Belt town. He said it was a company town that lost its company. They used to make Studebakers there. Ray, you know cars, don't you?
Yes, I do. I taught
Studebaker,
the grandson of Ray Lowy that started the Studebaker. He designed it. So, yeah, I'm very aware of the Studebaker. Yeah?
Yeah, yeah. Well, apparently they were made solely in South Bend, Indiana, and in the 60s, they stopped making them. In my lifetime, I don't remember Studebaker. I know the name.
You remember the Studebaker Lark, the small Studebaker?
Oh, that I remember, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, what he's done is he's, you know, like in Detroit, in, what Henry Ford built in, what's the town, River Rouge in Michigan?
Yeah.
Studebaker had a huge, huge plant. And Mayor Pete has the building was still there, and he retrofitted it, and they're now focusing on small tech businesses, and something along the lines of what I'm trying to do is online publishing, which, believe it or not, creates a few jobs. If I could sell more books, I'd create even more jobs. But he has population has come back in the town. His message seems to be what people don't have is hope, and they need a practical reason to have hope. And he's very well liked out there. And I would. There are a couple of candidates that have intrigued me. I saw Eric Holder, Obama's former attorney general. He looks like he's going to run. Of course, Joe Biden. Unfortunately, sorry to disappoint people, but Bernie Sanders. And what this guy, Mayor Pete, says is that things will clear up quickly after the midterms because either Trump will be entrenched and fortified, but if the Democrats can at least take the House, then the game changes. And we can start focusing on getting Trump out. And I thought that was good news. And I'm really impressed by this guy. And of course, I would love to see a gay president. And of course, it would be difficult in ways, but he seems to have navigated at least a path in Indiana, which is a very red state. It just might happen. I don't know. I just have a gut feeling. But this is a, I mean, look at, we had our first African-American president that came out of nowhere. And I think people, there may just be a great purging of this fever that we've, you know, that somehow got Trump in there. And I don't know. What do you think, Ray? Is something radical like that in the realm of possibility?
Well, President Obama followed a wildly unpopular at the time George W. Bush, so there's a parallel there. And it's certainly time for a catharsis. So I don't have the optimism you have, but I certainly have the desire.
Okay. Well, Ray, I've run up against the clock. I've run over. We're going to get cut off any second. Thank you for everything. Thanks, everybody, for listening. And we'll talk to you next time. Happy birthday, Ray.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, everybody.